You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. I hope that you've had a great week. And I'm telling you, you've got to watch this one episode of the Rich and Shameless series. Remember, the first episode was about Joe Francis. They're doing a great job. Well, this one this week is called The Heiress and the Sex Cult. It's on TNT. It's a must watch. Listen, at this point, I feel like I'm a NXIVM scholar. I've done so much research on this strange organization and the people in it. And I've interviewed a lot of people associated with NXIVM, including Sarah Edmondson, who was on my episode last week talking about Teal Swan. This episode is an up-close look at Claire Bronfman, this quiet equestrian and heiress to one of the largest fortunes in the world. When she met Keith Raniere, she suddenly became the financier of one of the most abusive cults of the 21st century, NXIVM. And consequently, she became an enabler of her mentor's twisted desires. I think of all the NXIVM leaders, she's the most dangerous. This is eye-opening. It goes more into her background, her childhood, and I think that you're going to like it, especially if you've been covering or at least following through on all of the books and the podcasts and all of the articles that have been about NXIVM. So it's called The Heiress and the Sex Cult, and it's on TNT. Now, some seasons of 90 Day Fiancé, I just dip out. And I dipped out for a little bit, and I started watching this season. I think it's really fascinating. So if you're new to the show, 90 Day Fiancé is when long-distance loves apply for a K-1 visa. This allows the engaged partner of a U.S. citizen to enter the United States. But there is a big catch. Once the fiancé arrives in the United States, they only have 90 days to determine whether or not they want to get married. And if they don't get married within that allotted time frame, the fiancé is sent back to their home country. Inevitably, there are in-laws, there are friends that think the person that's engaged is out of their mind. And you think to yourself, if this person that you're engaged to lived down the street, you would know much faster that this is a potential disaster. But with long distance relationships, some things don't bubble up until the very last minute. So you can always count on cultural differences, the horrible family dynamics that only make this much more complicated. And then, of course, the travel guidelines give you another hiccup. So if you're not watching, I just want to give you a little bit of background. Kobe's 34. He's from Cameroon, and Emily is from Kansas. And Emily left her small town for China to teach English. And while out clubbing one night, she met Kobe, and that's when they fell deeply in love. So within 2 weeks, their one-night stand turned into an engagement. And then there was a pregnancy that followed soon after. So when Emily returned back to the U.S. to Kansas, they both assumed that his visa would be quickly approved. But because of the pandemic, it delayed it almost 2 years. So in that time frame, Emily has given birth to their son. She's been raising and supporting him on her own while he's not even had the chance to meet him yet. So there's a question of once they're going to be reunited, can they still have that magic happen? Then you have, this other couple's kind of boring, but I'm going to just tell you who I think is interesting. Kara's 29, she's from Charlottesville, Virginia, and Guillermo is 23 and from Venezuela. Guillermo is extremely attractive. He has the most perfect skin, and she is gorgeous too. So he was a Venezuelan living in the Dominican Republic, and she was on a work trip there, and the two locked eyes and fell deeply in love. So they kept in touch after she returned home. She didn't think it was going to be anything serious, but then her job asked her to relocate to the Dominican Republic. So there she is in the country. She moves in with him, and an engagement quickly followed. But here's the thing. She's 29, he's 23. Her friends, her family think she's lost her mind. And now he's in Charlottesville, Virginia, which if you've been there, you're not thinking to yourself, this is like a place for, you know, some very young guy who wants a metropolitan life to enjoy it. You know what I mean? Shaida is 37. She's from Trinidad and Tobago. And Bilal is 42 and from Kansas City, Missouri. So they met in person after connecting online months before. He proposed to her after the two spent 1 week together. Yeah, I know. You're like, is this going to work? Hell no. They could not be more different. So because Bilal is a divorced father of two, and she still lives at home with her parents. She's ready at 37 to start a family of her own, and who can blame her? But he's not sure if he wants any more children. And then there's a sequence of events that happen, namely one in a car, where you are privy to the reason that his previous wife wanted to not be married to him anymore. And there's this one moment where she meets the ex-wife outside of service and they lock eyes and you can tell that the ex is like, are you sure you want to ride with this cowboy? Like, this is a nightmare waiting to happen. So I find that one really interesting. And then you have Miona. She's 23. She's from Serbia. And Jibri is 28. Now, here's what you need to know because it kind of reminds me of season three. So Jibri noticed Miona in the audience when he had a show in North Serbia. And I was like, wow, the band's like in Serbia. Like they're really like taking it international. Like, okay. They've been together ever since. And he proposed during one of his trips. Here's the problem. She is thinking she's going to move to the United States and she's going to be living in Los Angeles. But he moved back in with his parents in South Dakota. I'm telling you, you got to watch that one. And then the one that I think is the most interesting is Patrick, who's 31 from Austin, Texas, and Thais is 25 and from Brazil. So he decides that he's going to go back to Brazil because he wants to connect with his father's side of the family. I salute that. My husband's Portuguese. He goes on a dating app and he decides, I'm going to find a Portuguese teacher, which I get. Like, she's probably solid, cares about children. Like, good idea. So they start dating. He goes on several trips to visit her in Brazil. He gives her tons of gifts and then he proposes. Now, she's never been to the US, so she's excited to start this new life with him, but she has these expectations for this extravagant lifestyle, but he lives with his brother. The thing I can't understand is that Patrick has a Southern accent and his brother John has a Boston accent. So you do feel like he's living with one of the Wahlberg brothers. And when she comes to live there, he's not happy about it. He drinks beer in the morning and this couple just want to get it on all the time. So it's a recipe for disaster. And for that reason, I'm telling you, you got to check out 90 Day Fiancé this season. I think you're going to like it. This episode is absolutely hilarious. Julie and Brandy are my old pals. They've been on the show and have reviewed so many great shows. Shark Tank, for example, is one of their most beloved shows. We have been obsessed with the show Little People, Big World for years. And I think, as I've mentioned, this season, it's really getting interesting. There's a lot of family problems. And for that reason, it's worth watching because we all have family problems and can relate to it. So we talk about that. And then we talk about Paris in Love, which ran on Peacock and basically chronicled the days leading up, well, really the weeks leading up to Paris Hilton's marriage to Carter. We had so many of the same thoughts, concerns, if you will, about these two getting married. And I laughed for about 50 minutes straight. I know you're going to love this episode. So sit back, enjoy, and here we go. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KKC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KKC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KKC. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Julie and Brandy from Dumb Gay Politics have been obsessed with a show like myself for many years. That show is Little People, Big World. It premiered March 4th, 2006 on TLC. The series chronicles the lives of the six-member Roloff family near Portland, Oregon. They live on a farm. Parents Matt and Amy and their four children, Zach, Jeremy, Molly, and Jacob. So Matt, Amy, and Zach have dwarfism, while Jeremy, Molly, and Jacob are of average height. Zach and Jeremy are fraternal twins. Although Jeremy is of average height, his brother Zach is a little person. He's only 4'4". So in 2010, Amy Roloff commented on the beginning of the show, TLC came to us about 5 or 6 years ago, and so suddenly we realized we were given a great opportunity to educate people about dwarfism. When it was offered that we do a show about our lives, my husband and I were like, wow, nothing like this has ever been on the air. Nothing had depicted dwarfism in everyday, everyday way. Lo and behold, a few episodes turned into 6 seasons, and here we are. Well, now it's 23 seasons that we're in. And I have to say, once you start watching that show, you kind of forget that a few of the family members have dwarfism because there are so many elements of that show that are relatable, including bitterness, hate,
resentfulness,
resentment, secret hate of siblings. There's so many things that are so relatable that I can't stop watching. I dipped out for a little while. I came back. I think you guys are the same way.
Yes.
Now, Julie, I believe you've referred to Matt Roloff as.
Oh no, that was me.
That was Brandy.
That guy, Matt Roloff, is the little Richard Gere, motherfucker, straight hot, and we got back into it because of you, Kate. And again, like I was watching, we watched it last night, and I was like, the guy is straight up like sexy as fuck. Like he is so good looking. He's the best good looking. Little person who ever lived.
I can't think of another one who's better looking. The only other little person I thought was good looking was the guy from Willow.
No, I disagree with you. Marty, his friend that sometimes appears in episodes, he's been in a ton of movies too. He's like this athletic guy, Marty. Oh. But he's like an easy 10 years younger, so he still has like a little bit of swag.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. That dude's like an actor, like, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, the girls that were on the girls' show, like the sexy little hooker ones. They were really attractive.
Yeah,
a lot
of them. Yes, yeah.
The first episode of the season was titled Roloff Crazy Train. So let's just give people the background. Last season, Zach discussed the possibility of taking over Roloff Farms after Amy Roloff moved off the property and sold her half to Matt. But negotiations went awry and the two parties were left at odds. We should let people know that this farm is making a mint with the pumpkin patch. I mean, yes. People come from near and far.
Yes.
To buy those pumpkins.
I mean, I went on the website last night just to peruse around, just to see what was
of
doing.
Of course you did.
I mean, and we're talking, this thing is like 60 acres, this or 100 acres. The amount of land is enormous. There's an entire forest. There's literally like Sherwood Forest is on the fucking farm. Okay. And they also have a castle, like a ship, like a little petting zoo. Like a, it's all, you can take tours. I mean, I want to go.
Well, next time we do a live podcast in or near Portland,
we're definitely going. I'm going to be like, knock. Matt, looking good. Hey, babe. Yeah, come on.
Well, the problem with Matt historically is that he's a person, he probably has ADD. He begins projects, never finishes them. So the pirate ship, you know, had like one shingle hanging off of it. There's always brush. He would always, like myself, I was always the person that had to do all the landscaping, even though I was like 8 years old. It was the same for that family where Zach and Jeremy were out with tractors as little kids, like picking up brush.
Right.
So we've got this property. Now, the Wall Street Journal reported that Matt put 16 acres of the property up for sale this month for $4 million.
Wow.
Now, I have to say, the Sun is basically the Roloff gossip rag. It's amazing. So they reported in March of 2021 that Matt was renting out the main home to a female employee. Now, what we need to know, just as a side note, is that his girlfriend's name is Karen Chandler. And they met while she was still an employee at Roloff Farms, which did not go over well with Amy Roloff. Let me just say that. So Matt is now quasi living on the farm with Karen, but she doesn't appear to live there full time. Apparently, she's not comfortable living in the farmhouse where Amy helped him raise his children. And by the way, I'm comfortable with that too. So Amy's old big farmhouse is currently being rented by a woman who has worked for Matt for a long time. It's the perfect arrangement for now as Karen refuses to live there. Karen, you better be checking out if Matt is boning the employee living in the house. You know what I mean?
My assessment of their relationship, I think I'm not, maybe Matt is boning the lady in the house because I can tell that he's over Karen. I think that he's having buyer's remorse.
Oh,
we did romanticize things. We want to think he's still in love with Amy.
Yes.
Amy seems into her guy who does kind of seem like a lightweight
gold digging fetishizer.
Yeah. A little pervy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do think he might be. And I do think he's got his sights set on the farm. And I think he wants to be around Matt a little too much. And you know what? Matt's probably fucking him too. So I don't know what to say.
So Amy has married this gentleman. His name is Chris. Mm-hmm. And the duo, according to The Sun, first met at a pool party in 2016. After Amy filed for divorce from Matt in 2015, she says, Chris and I got to talking and he invited me to go on a motorcycle ride. I remember that episode where she was introduced to the motorcycle gang.
I feel like I might remember that too.
It's right? A club, guys. Motorcycle club.
I mean, he did ride the motorcycle. He did. They did have their romantic motorcycle ride and cubed wine.
Yes.
In this episode, he did ride up in like a bear. And I like a motorcycle and I like a motorcycle group. I mean, give me anything motorcycle, I'm down. And I was impressed with his motorcycle. I thought, oh, he's not completely, he has some money somewhere because he had an expensive motorcycle.
And she does seem to like him, even if we don't really like him.
Yes.
We need her and Matt to get back together.
Yes. We need the love story of the ages is that this drama's going on. Zach is being a little twat and then not, you know, running away to wherever with Tori and she's cheating on him and their relationship's falling apart. And then of course, Matt is with Karen. Karen turns into a Karen. She turns, it's too much. He can't take it. He fucking trots over to Amy. He's like, what? That we're best friends. And then they do it again and they just
get back together. Good move, right? Because
that's just the way that love has to go here.
Mm-hmm. So some more background. Zach and Tori put an offer down to buy the north side of the farm. So Matt told the cameras, when Zach and I finally sat down, we were really in a different camp about what kind of deal could go on. Mm-hmm. Zach came in real hot. He didn't come into negotiation. He came into demand.
Yep.
Zach didn't agree with the way Matt expressed the sequence of events. He said, you're not dictating the terms here. You've dictated too much for too long. Now, after that episode came out, Matt did something on his Instagram and said, well, turned out the deal didn't work out as we expected. And then This is why I love Instagram. Because Zach commented underneath and said, here we go again. It's your series of events. Like, this is your narrative. So what's happening off camera is becoming so Real Housewife.
Wow.
That it makes me even more fascinated and interested in the story, because I would love to have been present for those negotiations. Oh, what do you yes. think? What do you think happened in those deliberations, which I'm assuming was in some, like, maybe it was in the pirate ship?
I think they went into the pirate ship.
And I think that it was, first of all, it's Zach and Tori and Karen and Matt. Okay. So yeah. Karen is there for the negotiations, which obviously turned off Zach. And he's like, what's this bitch here? You've been, she's not my mother, and she's not, she's a co-owner of the farm. So Karen is there bugging on.
Karening on.
And Zach is like, okay, dad, and apparently they've been talking about it for months. And Zach has been trying to like, he's like, you know what? It might be cool to be on the farm and have my family because the kids love it. And blah, blah, and he loves the forest. His whole thing is about the forest. He wants to be near Sherwood Forest of the farm. He's like, the kids love the forest. I love the forest. Everybody loves the forest. We need to be in the forest. So that is the second part of the north part of the farm. That part that Zach wanted to buy is 30 acres. So Matt said, nah, you're not ready for that. You don't know how to do the business. You don't know what you're doing. You're fanciful and dreamyful, and yeah. you want the kids to be on the farm, and you want me to give it to you, but you haven't worked for anything. And then Zach was like, F you, dad. Why don't you love me? You love Jeremy more. I have... Blah, blah, blah. And then he walked out and didn't negotiate anymore, but he had the opportunity to have 15 acres and a full house to live on that farm with his kid and learn the business. And he's the one, in my opinion, right. who blew up the family. Okay. It's Zach.
We don't have kids.
Interesting.
We don't have kids, but as a mother, don't you feel like, well, like you're not dictating this. He owns the farm yeah. and he yeah. ran the farm for the last 30 years or whatever. Like, of course he's dictating it. Who yeah. are you?
Right.
Well, I think what is so fantastic about this show is that it's not really about the negotiations. It's about all the shit that's happened over the course of his 20 some years that is really at the heart of the non-negotiations. So I could care less about, do you get 15 acres and a house? I care. Let's go back to when they were 8 and you went on that dumb trip on the cruise through the Mississippi River and you wanted to leave and you wouldn't talk to Amy and you've totally had favorite kids. And and then poor Amy yeah. was always miserable and she'd be in that kitchen making banana bread all day long, right?
Oh, that sounds good.
God, that does sound
coming
good.
Over.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, obviously, if Zach is coming in hot because he's filled with daddy issues.
Yeah,
rage. I mean, that's yeah. And you know, not for nothing, he's got, I would imagine, I know that I have two siblings. We are what, you know, if my sister even lost weight, I would be like, this fucking bitch.
Totally.
She lost. 15 pounds, and everyone likes her better.
No, that's so now, me too. Yeah,
because that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
we have a situation with whatever you want to call it, average size brother, who's your twin, yep. and you cannot tell me there isn't a sibling, just an inferiority complex with that.
Yeah.
There's no way. There's no way.
And Matt did make it worse. You're right, Kate.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So that's a good point, because we need to go into what's going on behind the scenes with Zach and Jeremy. Okay. So they barely talk. They've been locked in a bitter feud for several years due to contrasting sociopolitical views. Boy, don't we all know that game. Okay.
Oh,
so, Jeremy and Zach?
Yeah. What sides are they on?
Oh okay. my God.
So here
I
we
didn't
go.
Even know that.
I know. This is what I'm saying. This is so good. Okay. So according to the sources at The Sun, again, I commend you. Get the Nobel Peace Prize right now. You've done a great job.
Oh my God.
They've said exclusively that Tori and Audrey stopped talking after their husbands had a huge argument, adding that the relationship between them hasn't been the same since. By the way, these sources are usually like the best friends from the wedding that have nothing going on in you know, the farm. Right.
I've been friends with Jeremy and Jack for like 12 years. I remember when they used to talk to each other. Now, they didn't even do nothing. We used to all get together and do stuff and go on the farm. Ooh, can I get $25 for this interview?
Not even that. They're like, can I just get a six pack of beer? No, actually, yeah. they probably don't even drink beer. I don't think they drink beer. Okay.
Because right, they're conservative. Yeah. Anyway.
The insider added, Tori and Audrey always got along with each other. I call bullshit on that. Those two The minute I saw them on screen, I'm like, they're so different. And Audrey has this like red flowing hair in the wind. And you can tell she's like, knows her beauty. She's like one of those girls.
Yeah, the Ginge is so pretty.
Yes, so pretty. And yeah. so I feel
and
like
that other girl's so insecure. You
she's
know,
so insecure.
Tori,
but,
yeah.
But she's the heartbeat of the show. And I think people at first like, oh, you're using Zach for fame. She is the most loyal. She's like that loyal wife. And I salute the shit out of that. I'm like, yeah, girl. Okay. So Tori, they got along apparently, but Zach and Jeremy got into a huge argument one day and everything changed. Okay. So this is it. It went on for weeks and the girls obviously took sides. They all stopped speaking to each other. The argument was about the lack of respect. Zach felt he didn't get enough support from Jeremy, but he didn't agree. It exploded and there was a lot of mudslinging, resulting in the two couples keeping their distance. The duos each have their own views on politics and religion, which also reportedly factored into the feud. Audrey and Jeremy are strict Christians who promote conservative points of view. Tori and Zach tend to be more liberal. I would also like to point out that Audrey and Jeremy were the couple that wrote a marriage book 6 months after they got married. So I don't know. I think that's another element where Zach and Tori are like, oh, here we go. The experts on everything. They're probably, I feel like she would be the mom who's like, you know, you really shouldn't hold your baby like that. Or, oh, you're not giving them fresh blueberries. Ooh, I don't know if you want to do that. I think that is like, Zach is deeply insecure.
Yes.
Matt Roloff enabled that behavior.
Yeah.
It's like he poured gasoline on fire.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that is all that stuff is at play. Now, I also want to point two other things because I think it's very important. They have two other siblings. Molly graduated from Whitworth University in 2016 with majors in accounting and Spanish. She's now an accountant in Spokane. She's married. If she's an accountant, she's very cerebral, you know, black and white.
She's
5'7". She's 5'7". I think she's like, I have no time for all of this drama. Like, I'm moving the hell out of town. I just need to crunch numbers in my office. Okay, but this is a very important background too. Okay, so there's another son named Jacob. And Jacob went off the show for a long time. This is what everybody needs to know. In December of 2020, Jacob opened up about being a child sexual abuse survivor. He accused one of the show's executive field producers of molestation.
Oh my God.
I know. He said at the time, it is often much easier to think about things than it is to talk about them. And so this disclosure has been delayed, but through that delay, I have found the fortitude of words. He was 23 when he wrote this on an Instagram post. God bless him.
That was already that beginning was already so powerful. I thought,
oh my God, like, I know. As a child, after what I realized now was a long grooming process, I was molested by an executive field producer for Little People, Big World. He went on to say, I first began contemplating the statement when he texted me years later in November of 2015. I chose to disclose it now as it remains a traumatic memory that needs to be exercised of any further power over my development. By revealing this, I may be more fully understood and my perspective on issues such as child sexual abuse, child exploitation, and the collateral costs of my reality television may be received more clearly, he further explained. Although I would have had to add to this experience has not solely defined my point of view on any of these issues, nor has it defined my worldview in general, this may also serve as a reminder that the experience of sexual assault in all of its iterations can happen to anyone at any time and is far more prevalent reality than our social stigma allows us to talk about. That young man was 23 years old when he wrote that statement. So in light of his allegations, the network responded immediately after. They said TLC was just informed about an alleged encounter that occurred years ago involving a third party connected to the production of Little People, Big World. We are saddened and troubled by this very serious allegation, and TLC will work cooperatively with the authorities. Our main focus remains on supporting the Roloff family during this very difficult time. In December of 2021, so a year later, Jacob was reunited with his brother, Jeremy, and so they could introduce each other to their children. Jacob has one, Jeremy now has three. So they've tried to somehow mend fences. So add another layer to this that I think Zach, I could be projecting or I could be making this up, but it seems to me that Zach has that weight on his shoulders too, because he is the only sibling on the show anymore. Molly doesn't participate. Jeremy and Audrey quit in 2018. Jacob has not been on for years. So he has the weight of that on his shoulders with his father, because one, of course, would always assume that you are angry at the father that put you in the position where you're all being filmed as children, correct? And so that makes me have even more empathy for Zach.
That's good. And also, I'm sure the siblings are all like bitter that he won't quit or something, you know, too. It's like, especially mm-hmm. after finding out that that happened to the brother, you'd yeah. really think you'd
I can't believe
stop.
You still do the show. I can't believe I still do the show.
I know. So does he saying that the guy, it was that like groomed him until...
Mm. Yeah.
It was, or we don't know if it was a guy or a woman.
No, it was a man. It was a man. And I think what's hard too is that, you know, you have the production companies, but you also have like outside consultants or crew mm-hmm, members that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, without knowing any of the details, and Jacob said, I'm not going to go into the details of what happened to me because it doesn't serve anyone and it's, you know, it doesn't help anybody at this point. But I think that, you know, it sounds like TLC got on it immediately. But I have empathy for them too, because you have these outside people that are brought on, and I have empathy for all parties involved, yeah. except for, of course, the abuser. But I mean, I just think that that adds another element to it. But that's why this show is like, I feel like I've been so committed for all these years. And it really, like I said in the beginning, like the dwarfism kind of falls away at some point because there are all these things that are so relatable to other families. I mean, who doesn't relate to like, you have different socio-political views? Like everybody has that in their family. But then have like, being compared to another sibling. I mean, I'm still compared to my sister. It's like,
we all are. Of course, we totally yeah. all are. I mean, still to this day, there's utterings of you like this one more and that one more. It's like, we're 100. Like, why are you worried? You're worried about that now? Okay.
I know.
Did they say why they quit Jeremy and the Ginge?
You know what it was? I think it was like the viewer outrage because they really did not like Audrey. It was like she just came across as like a know-it-all. And I think at that point, Zach and Tori were so beloved. I mean, here's this young woman who comes into his life. She was so devoted to him. And I think people were touched like, yes, it's a possibility that all of our children might have dwarfism, but I don't care. And she's a school teacher. She's kind of like a perfect person, right? And then you have Audrey with this like... big personality and kind of like, this is the way the world works. And viewers just did not like her. And I think that at some point they were like, maybe this isn't the best thing for us. Probably was a great decision.
Yeah. I mean, you wrote a book.
It's insane.
And it's
I have
called
to say,
Creative Love. Creative Love.
And it was insane. It was like so juvenile. It was like every day, like figure out ways to like show your love, like write a note, skip down the hallway, you know.
Wear a dress that covers your ankles. Lady, I mean, I can't with that. Like, don't ever show your wrists. No, just no, no, and no.
She used to do this thing too earlier, like in the beginning, before they got married. I guess she was a runner. And every time she'd run, she would take a Sharpie and write on her hand or arm something like, always want more. I think I'm saying that correctly. It was like some weird phrase, her little mantra. And she would just put it everywhere. And I think people also at that point were like, this is a person who may be leaning too much into becoming a TV personality where now they have like branding. Like I'll have notebooks that say always want more. I'll have headbands. And I think that's the two personalities, Tori and Audrey, were at such odds that people really loved Tori more. And she was like, I'm out. But they're still, I mean, I think they still are pretty famous. They have a lot of Instagram followers and whatnot.
I would think. I wonder if they have a YouTube channel. I was going to look that. She sounds like she's like, hey guys, welcome to my channel. Always got more. Jesus told us today that we need to have more and then make sure your man is happy at all times.
Yeah, it's very much like you should be subservient to your husband. Always make him happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear just from their pictures.
And then he's very much like, you know, like you can express your love of family by building a bench. It's very like Jesus the carpenter kind of thing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That could be why they quit too. Because they needed to go deeper into their own community or whatever hell.
Right.
Maybe. Right. But like I said, I thought it was the best thing for them to go off the show. So that's Little People, Big World. Any last thoughts about Little People, Big World before we go into Paris in Love, which is a total pivot, by the way.
Lately, I'm getting into watching if there's seasons upon seasons upon seasons of shows that I can watch, I will sit and watch them all.
Yeah.
So I feel like if there's anyone who hasn't seen this, they could start at the beginning. And I'm kind of tempted to just go back and just rewatch all the seasons from 2006.
Why not? We could totally,
you know what I mean? It's like a week.
Yeah. Cause we could do it.
Yeah.
And never leave the house and
yeah.
You know what I mean? Stick to the couch and watch it. I mean, I don't know. I hope I want to keep watching cause I want to see how it unravels or it plays out with, I want Zach and the dad to get to be okay.
Yeah.
You know,
I do too.
Just like with your own life and your own family. It's like, I'm mad at my sister cause she lost the weight. Or I'm whatever with my mom and my dad. But ultimately, like, I do want us all to be happy with each other. And you want that for them too.
Yeah. And I want Matt to evolve.
Yeah.
And apologize and shit.
Yeah. And Karen needs to kick it to the curb.
Yeah. Karen's got to go. By the end of the season,
see you later, Karen's got to go. Karen, meet Karen. And here's the door. Yeah. I mean, just no. Mm-hmm.
Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Okay, so we have to talk about Paris in Love because I felt like I watched it every week. And that's another show where there were so many things to unpack with each episode. I just kept going, there is so much to this show, and I hope people don't sleep on it. So the backstory is, it's this TV series that was on Peacock, and it followed socialite, TV personality, advocate, / DJ Paris Hilton and her fiancé, Carter, plan their wedding. And the series also starred her sister, Nikki Hilton, and her mother, Kathy Hilton. When it was announced that it was a show all about her wedding, did you think to yourself, I don't know if I can stay the course? However, upon watching the first episode and meeting the fiancé, were you like, I am so into this?
We knew because we are humongous Paris Hilton fans. Humongous. So we'd watch the bitch do anything. And happily, she's like one of the funniest people
that's ever been born.
So we knew we would do it and do it happily. Yeah. However, I did not expect on any level that he was going to be such a douchebag.
Yeah. I know.
Ugh. Yeah.
And that was shocking.
I literally at certain points, because we watched it together, we basically took a weekend, Brandy and I, and stayed here just like drinking and watching the show and just yelling. We love her so much for all of her, everything, all of it. We're here for all of it. And he
is awful.
Is one of the most disgusting, despicable fucking assholes I have ever seen. I'm sorry. And I don't want her to hear this because I don't want her to be mad at me.
When we do a Patreon podcast and we talked about this on our Patreon podcast and Julie was calling him abusive or something. And I was like, Julie, we can't throw that word around. She was so sad when we were done with the show. I thought she might shed a tear. She missed. She started rewatching it again.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was so filled with rage at him and his, and we,
I can't take it.
And you know what? Also, Kate, so we didn't watch it week to week because I knew we couldn't deal with that. So we watched it all in one sitting.
Yeah.
And it was far enough after it came out that we were literally looking every hour to be hoping that they, broke up.
Yeah. I did too.
By now. And they haven't.
They haven't. And she's still, I mean, I think that she might get pregnant and he's going to be the father of her baby. And I can't have that. I can't. I'm so upset about it.
I know.
It's so upsetting. He's so upsetting.
Let's unpack him. So first of all, he's about 8'7" and he looks like Howdy Doody. Okay. That's right off the bat.
Howdy Doody.
That's a good one.
He does look like Howdy Doody.
He has apparently been stalking her for years. Everybody that gave speeches to anything that they went to, it was like, I remember all the times that like he looked at your poster on the wall. It's like, for me, that would have been the red flag. Like, abort the mission. Like, get out now.
Out. The people saying he would text and talk about her and as a celebrity, it was so cringy.
Yep.
Cringy.
Like, how is Paris? And we were looking, we're like, is she sleeping? Does she not hear this?
Now I will say this. It's the only thing I'm going to say, it's not even in his defense. It's in her. I only can see this through her eyes. She has been with, but you know, she thinks, I'll say this. She thinks he's being nice to her.
Right.
So she, in her mind, her perception is she's being treated in a gentle, caring manner. Mm-hmm. And until she wakes up from that, that's when they'll break up. But I will say that she isn't in a situation where she's like, ugh, he's yelling at me. You know, we watched those things with Paris Hilton where that guy, they got in those fights and.
Remember the documentary, Kate? Where the guy's yelling at her.
Horrible ex-boyfriend. Yeah.
And she has a lot of ex-boyfriends like that. And I think just to add on to that while we're unpacking him, that she said, several times in Paris in Love that she was done with the gold diggers and she perceives the fact that he has his
money.
Fake hedge fund shyster scheme going on and his father's money that he's not a gold digger, but what he is a clout chaser.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he is.
Yeah.
He is using her to get his name out. And the fact that she is not concerned that he had a child with another woman.
Oh yeah.
And this child is desperately writing letters to daddy, will you come visit me?
Yeah.
And that was kind of skimmed over. Like, let's just get this wedding done. I have heard, and I don't know if this is true, but I'm going to go with it, that Kathy and Nikki actually don't like him. And I feel like there's been archival footage to back that up. They do not seem pleased with him in the least.
Kathy point blank hated him for the first five episodes. And then she started drastically changing and being like, we made up now. And it's like, no, Kath.
She was trying to keep Paris. She was definitely seeing, she was definitely trying. She was seeing that. The more that she was like, he's an octopus Groomzilla. He's annoying. I'm annoyed. Why is he calling the Beverly Hills Hotel? We've lived there for 32 years. What is he doing? Why is he involved? What the hell's going on? She could see that Paris was disconnecting. And I think that she went, and as a mom, she was like, don't worry. He's fine. He's nice.
And it was also clear while we're unpacking him that I loved when Nikki Hilton said on the show, she said, you have to remember they got together in the pandemic.
I know.
It was just them two. He had her all to himself. He basically used that time, since he's such a manipulative fucking
monster.
Yeah. To take her over like into Scientology. Yes. Like, I'm surprised she doesn't believe in Xenu at this point. He's so mind controlled her.
I know.
And he wove this thing around her that he's some big hedge fund guy and built this whole story up. And so then when they go out into the world, he is subtly controlling her. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe he wasn't violent and yelling like the guy from the documentary, but he is doing that. He's constantly controlling her.
Yes.
And
that's right.
Nikki Hill. And so I forgot where I was going.
Well, I want to add on to that, if I may. I will never stop talking about him. It is one of my favorite things to do when I'm in an enraged state. He also, and this is what really pushed me over the edge, was that it's the controlling and all of that. It's the subtle manipulations that he's normal and that he comes from a grounded place and that he isn't of, you know, the Hilton air. He's just a regular Michigan and Guinean guy who just goes to the lake and does wakeboarding and skateboarding and ski boarding and and like as if they're normal. and just, you know, blue collar, regular people. And he constantly makes her, or he's trying to constantly like undermine her and take away from whatever you think. Fine. They're rich, they're entitled, they're privileged, whatever. Well, that's how she was brought up. That's just who it is, what it is. So
it is what it is.
And you're marrying her and you want to constantly chip away at it and judge. He's judgy and moralizing.
I remember where I was going.
Okay.
One thing when they were in the pandemic and he was mind controlling her, he got her to fucking freeze her eggs.
Oh, that's right.
And like, and I don't know if they made actual embryos. Like, I was shocked Paris even did that. And I guess she's probably just bored in the house. But I don't know if they made embryos with his sperm. I mean, we are literally on like embryo watch. We can't even handle it. Like, I'm calling around to hospitals. Like, where are those fucking eggs? Do not give them those eggs. And he's like convincing her to do this and we got to get going. But you know, so the show for anyone who hasn't watched it, you need to get the free trial on Peacock and you need to watch that shit. It is so good. It'll keep you entertained on every level. And there's so many layers. Like Kate said, every single episode you could watch 50 times.
Watch with your daughters.
I agree. And
show her what a man should not be like. He is the perfect example.
This last thing. So the whole for 11 episodes or whatever, it exists because he is the one who he was insisting on this wedding and it was, and they weren't doing it because she would never have done it. She's been almost gotten married three times. She's been engaged three times and Kathy wasn't going to plan shit because they don't like him.
Nope.
And Paris wasn't going to plan anything. And she didn't have her, you know, her CEO assistant or whatever that lady.
Exactly.
It didn't have to do it. And so all of a sudden he starts planning it.
Yep.
And then they're like, oh good God. And so, and she's like, if nothing else, I'm going to get a TV show out of this. But he was the one planning it and pushing the ball forward every time and making it, the whole thing happen because of him, because he was not going to let her out of there without marrying
him.
That's
right. And also let's not forget the conversation heard around the world where he expected her to take His name. That is when
every woman's vagina exploded.
I didn't think it was possible, Kate, to get gayer than I am until that guy did that. I couldn't believe, not only is it presumptuous of anyone, and that's two people's choice, whatever, but to think that Paris Hilton would lose her name to take on your name, sir.
Which is Reem. Carter Reem. Paris Reem? I don't think so.
Oh my God.
And then he goes, well, your sister, Nikki, I saw on her Instagram, she changed her name to Nikki Rothschild. And it's like, no shit. No shit. Okay. I'm going to change my name to Rothschild.
We both already did. There's five names in the history of the United States that one changes their name to. And Rothschild's one of them, you asshole.
Oh my God. I know. And by the way, I have my maiden name. I didn't change my name. I got married 15 years ago. My husband was like, okay, whatever.
Exactly.
But there are small moments where she exercises her power, where she said, I'm just not going to change it. Yes, but she says it only to her sister, Nikki, who I believe is the only person she fully shows up for. She is the most authentic version of herself with her sister.
Yeah.
I'm concerned that there's still some moments where she's still doing the sing-songy voice. She does that around her mom because she's terrified of her mother.
It's so good.
And that upsets me.
Yeah.
The other thing that I get mad about is that she has ADHD. She's in the new documentary on Apple TV. I recommend it for number one thing I recommend this week. It's called The Disruptors. And she talks about having ADHD and how it's a superpower, et cetera. I don't like the way that he talks down to her about it. Like, oh, I'm going to have to plan it because it's like, she is a focus disorder.
And he constantly talks down to her.
The whole relationship is him talking. We watched just to review it a little bit this morning. I heard literally three words came out of his mouth and I almost threw the TV out of the window. Like,
and we don't even need to review it because we've already watched the whole thing twice.
But it was just like, I'm so glad that you're doing a little planning. I was like, I'm going to rip your face off.
What Julie really hated this, and this was from the first episode on, and then it became apparent this was like his thing is, and I got to tell you, Kay, I went on Reddit when we were done. We were just so like, we missed her so much. And I'm like, how can this be over?
Yeah.
And all I could do is just go on Reddit and just read. I was only looking specifically for people talking shit about Carter.
Yeah.
It was either talking shit about Kathy or talking shit about Carter. And we wanted to just hear about Carter. Yeah. And it's like everybody noticed, you know, that he's got this grotesque, like, father. Like, he would, oh, this is what Julie hated. And then he did all the time. He'd go, what do we say?
Oh, no. When he says, you're meansies. I was like, what are you for?
Yeah, it's so.
What do we say? He constantly, he goes, what do we do? What do we do when we're alone sitting on the couch? What do we say?
He always asks questions like that. Like,
you know, you're right. Because he has to be there when she's DJing, right? And he acts like a cult leader because he isolates her. He liked COVID.
He liked
COVID because she was just on the couch. And everything is like, I feel like he's almost grooming her too. Like, I'm totally fine living in this house where you have gigantic photos of yourself everywhere. I'm totally happy living. And then now that he's locked down the marriage, now he's going to turn it over and go, you're going to come home one day and it's just going to be a sea of cedar wood walls, whiskey bottles, leather chairs. And there's not one goddamn thing you can do about it.
Yeah.
He's
totally grooming her.
He already brought it up when he said, when they were sitting at their stupid fucking lake, and he's like, this is normal life and blah, blah, blah.
We don't want our kids to be monsters.
Yeah, we don't want our kids to be monsters. Like, you're the monster, Carter. You're the actual monster. And you're the actual monster here. Like, and then I want to come here like at least part of the year, and I want to get moved. And she said to the camera, she was like,
I don't know that I want to go back.
But like,
I'm not going back there. I don't think I want to go back, at least not for a year.
And she doesn't want that. She doesn't want that. And he just doesn't listen because he's going to get what he wants. And what he wants to control her.
But she does exert her power subtly. Like, she's like, are you mad at me? Yeah. But she won't be controlled, but he's so good.
He's really good.
And
she's used to her. When she said in there's a lot of poignant moments, I think, in Paris and Love, too, with Kathy and her whole thing with her being abused in the teen facility and blah, blah, blah. And she said, I'll never be, was it in this or was it in the documentary? She's like, is never going to control me again.
That's in the documentary.
So,
that's in the documentary, yeah.
So then when she's with him and she's allowing him to do his manipulations, you just think like, either he is going to ultimately dominate her entirely or she is going to, like, hit a wall. Like, that's what we hope. She's going to hit a wall where he's going to be like, you're coming to Michigan now for 3 months. And she's going to be like,
oh, I know. Thanks. I have to teach it. I have to go. Yeah.
I mean,
I have to go pick up some dogs.
Like, whatever. I mean, that's what we can only hope. I mean, is that he just doesn't get the full control.
I hope so.
I'm on 24-hour Paris watch. We saw pictures of her on Instagram. I'm on the news. Because we don't really look at Instagram that much, but where she was at Coachella.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God,
she's free. I know. I thought the same thing. She's free. Free like a bird. Fly your wings,
investigated
Paris.
It and she was there.
I know.
Oh, shit.
People listened to our podcast were like, ugh, I saw them there together and he's so gross and creepy.
Oh, God.
You know what my favorite moment was? Was when he alluded to possibly asking his brother to officiate the ceremony.
Oh my God.
Rick Hilton walks in with a very waxy face and that sweater tied around his shoulders. Yes. Like somebody at a country club that hasn't like just wears loafers and sits in the smoking room. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, for fuck's sake, that's not going to happen. And I thought, this private gentleman, Rick, is stewing in the sidelines. Yeah, he hates him. And I salute him for that.
I salute him too. And by the way,
that
Mary and
Julie, the way they pressured her and pressured her and pressured her.
They are coerced. I mean, honestly, like they make me feel, and I never even had to really deal with this in my life, but they make me feel triggered as if I'm being coerced to like have sex. Like that's how I feel that they are coercers and not just
coerced consent.
Yeah. Like they're coerced. Those Carter and the brother, I can't remember his name. The whole family. Seems like they're just coercers.
Wait, can I say something else that I feel badly saying it, but it's something I feel deeply in my soul.
Yeah.
Okay. In the moments with his mom, I thought Paris was a real, real lady by pretending she likes his mom.
Yes.
The mom is insane.
Yes. At first, I thought the one redeeming thing about him was that he was like, I always take the phone call from my mother. And clearly it was like, oh, that's nice.
I did not believe it. I think he just said that for cameras.
He only cared about the dad. I mean,
only cared about
the dad.
That's the
thing.
My position as a married person is that you present yourself as one way while you're dating, especially if you want to get married. I said lots of bullshit things like, I like to cook all the time. I like to do world travel. Like it was all bullshit. I would go to like his family events and I'd be like, oh, it was so great to talk to Aunt Jerry, even though Aunt Jerry didn't know my name. She was said like 19 offensive things. And I was like, oh, she's just wonderful. Then you go home and you call your sister and you're like, these crazy people. And so when I watch those scenes, I'm like, I wish I was privy to the phone conversations between Paris and Nikki after the filming stopped. Like, his mom's driving me crazy. Or I can't stand his sister. The brother is a whack. Like, all those things.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, that's what I want to say about the brother best. Is that family is so presumptuous. Yeah. It's beyond. Pushy. It is absolutely beyond that brother went in. I can't, if I saw Kathy Hilton and, or if I had the opportunity to be even around them, do you think, who can imagine walking up and being like, hey, what's up?
I know. All right,
so I'm going to officiate your daughter's wedding. Cool. Cool. Like just it's, are you even anyone's mother? I can't even imagine that person talking to my mother. If that guy spoke to my own mother, Phyllis, like that, I feel like I would have to kill him.
Yeah.
I would kill him. You don't deal with somebody's mother like that. I'm sorry.
They did have one sister conversation. They had a million that were great. Even when she's like, are you wearing black? And Paris is like, yeah. And she's like, what's wrong? I can't wear black. She's like, it's a bridal brunch or whatever. She's wearing full black dress. So good. I love that dress too. But no, the best one was when they had the name conversation. And they fully made fun of his name.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
With Nikki and Paris. Yeah. That was the one good. We got to be a fly on the wall and her talking shit.
Yeah. Yep.
Those were my favorites.
And also, I thought it was cute. I did enjoy and was happy to see her. Remember when Carter made the save the dates cards? And
so Kathy and Paris go to a spa. They're getting IVs. They're sitting in a massage chair. Yep. And they're just like relaxing in these massage chairs. And then
Kathy's like, what are these save the dates cards Carter made? I'm going to, why did he make those? We agreed that he would make them.
Paris shows Kathy the save the date that Carter had made up. She's like, these look like a dog, an invite to a dog's birthday. This isn't being mailed to anyone. And Paris is like, well, he has hundreds of them at the house. Yeah, and they both laugh.
Yeah, they both laugh. And I was like, yeah, good. Yeah, good.
Do you get the sense too that Kathy was like, I'm so overwhelmed with all the planning, but I feel like she has so much money. She just hands everything over to Mindy Weiss. Mindy Weiss is like, trust me, I do this every day. It's going to be amazing.
I mean, I thought, absolutely. But then Kath was mad that stupid Carter was trying to supersede her.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she's not going to, you don't supersede Kath.
No.
With you.
No. She's like, I'm not going to have some guy from Michigan write up some invitations that are going to be seen by the Hollywood elite or Kris Jenner or whoever.
And you know what?
There.
To your point about him isolating her from everyone. Yeah. When Kath said, we like love Kath. We know she's about to have like a full problematic year. Leave it to Bravo to take down the Hilton family. Like nothing else could, but Bravo will. So that's fine. So, when she said, she was like truly like bummed out. And she was like, Nikki and I got closer planning her wedding. Yeah. And everybody knows that Paris is Kath's favorite, period. Her and Michael Jackson made the pact that they'd name their firstborn Paris. They both did. And they love Paris. They call her star, the whole bit. It's like, we know. And poor Nikki. I mean, damn, Nikki's like Zach from Little People, Big World.
I know.
Like,
she really is. Yeah.
Yeah, she really is. But you know, she finally had Kathy Hilton. It's a Rothschild wedding. It's in England.
Yep.
Kyle didn't get invited.
Yeah.
So great. So only Kyle's one daughter got to go. So
the bridesmaid.
Yeah. So she's like bummed out. She's like, I got closer with Nikki. I don't understand this. It's like he was isolating her. Yes. He was coming between her and her mother.
Yeah. I mean, and that is just get out of women's
get
business.
Get out of women's business.
Get out of women's business, Carter.
That's from Atlanta Housewives. Stay out of women's business, Peter.
Yeah, stay out of women's business, Peter.
Nini said that to Peter.
What, just give me your last favorite moment of the series.
God, it's just so hard.
I will say to you, and this is a truly heartfelt of, I really did love the horse therapy And
oh, that was
I
nice.
Really did enjoy that. I do live to see Paris with animals because she's like obsessed with animals. So I like mm-hmm. to see her around them and just the way she reacts. But then I really did think that like that talk, however corny it is, I do think it like kind of helped them.
I
Kathy
do
and Paris. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad. And, you know, I thought that was cool. I really did.
I can tell you that, I mean, I loved every episode and because then it deviates minute. And goes off and she goes to Congress and then we're like, we have a political podcast. I'm like, this is unbelievable. Like, we're like, I'm like, where's Adam Schiff? Why isn't Adam Schiff fucking standing there? But there was so many great, but I would have to say my least favorite of all the episodes, the most boring and the biggest letdown was the last one with the wedding.
Oh yeah.
I thought the wedding was actually mm-hmm. pretty tragic yeah. and they mm-hmm. did it at her grandfather's estate. There was a ton of buildup. Then they put a whole tent over it. It just looked like some dumb conference room. Yep. Mm-hmm. We didn't really, as a viewer, I mean, I didn't think it looked that cool. And maybe it looked better in real life. And I thought Demi Lovato actually sang pretty well.
Oh,
I wasn't
that's
expecting
right.
that.
Yes, she did sing really well. Yeah.
And the carnival was okay, but I thought of it all, the wedding was the worst part of the series.
I do want to add, I will add one more thing since I just can't ever, I just want to say two words, Kris Jenner.
Yeah. Mm. Kris and Kath's relish.
Okay.
Oh, that's a great, there was a great moment where Kris is like, I don't know why people complain about planning a wedding. I planned Chloe's in like 7 weeks. I'm like,
yeah, or 9
you
days.
Have like a ton of money. Of course you could.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and then it was, well, I guess Kathy, after this wedding's over, we're going to have a girls trip and blow off some steam. I was like, are you? Are you going to have to blow off some steam?
With Faye Resnick of all people.
So good.
Please no. They're like trying to get their own so girls good. Trip
yeah.
set off.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Here's an idea. Change the name of the podcast to Dumb Gay Rothschilds.
Yeah, that's where we're headed, honestly.
Yep.
And then we'll just talk about Paris and Love only. that's all clearly we want to talk about for the rest of our lives.
Oh, forever. We're going to be like Carter. We're going to try and we're going to manifest just meeting her, being around her.
Okay, before this is over, I do want to ask you one thing. You might be the only person on the entire planet that could help us with this.
Okay.
We are absolutely dying. Like with the weird fixation of the addicts we are, to see the 2013 season 12 American Idol. We need to rewatch that entire season with Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey. We must have it. We must do it. It's not available. They've scrubbed
anywhere.
Oh, her counsel probably ensured that. She probably made sure. She's got aggressive attorneys. And she's like, that was the biggest mistake. She has said that was a huge mistake.
Mariah Carey or Nicki Minaj?
Mariah Carey.
I don't know how we can get our hands on it. I mean, we need it. And my entitlement is raging, like raging. Like I honestly can't understand that we
can't
watch
this show. You know what you need to do? You need to make a public declaration that you are trying to find footage because there are some Mariah Carey super fans that probably recorded it on their phones and have some sort of like VHS tape. Like they are going to go deep. So I would just put it out there into the world. I am seeking...
Our friend told me to go into like the Mariah Carey Reddit subreddit.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And just be like, please, anyone. And they'll, you know, they probably bought it on DVD. You could buy those shows on DVD back
then. They've gotten rid of all of them. Every season prior to this new one is gone. You can't get it on Amazon. You can't go to Apple TV. You can't go to iTunes. You can't go to eBay even. It is gone. I mean, we're just dying.
Sometimes these shows come back though, and then it'll be like The Real World, for example, where all of a sudden it's on Paramount. They have to work out some sort of licensing deal, but I'm sure that it's Mariah Carey's attorneys that were like,
yeah,
let's like scrub the internet of this shit show of a year or season for sure.
Well, there were some clips on YouTube that made us literally mainline it.
Yeah.
Like, did you ever see?
We were on heroin.
Did you ever see the MTV Cribs with Mariah Carey from years ago?
Of course.
I have still think back to her foyer. It was like a pink candy color that I've never seen that wall ever again. It was like heaven's raindrops on the wall.
Yeah.
Pink. Do you remember when she was on the elliptical in her heels?
Oh, the elliptical. Of course. That was that's the part.
Icon.
It's,
iconic.
I mean, it's that.
That's the legend.
That it, and that's probably legend. Not even available either. Because we've tried to find that one and we've tried to find Shaq's Cribs. Because Shaquille O'Neal's is like one of the best too. You can't find it.
No, it's crazy.
MTV. They love
MTV has
toy
that.
With us.
Yeah, they really hoard that stuff. But then, like I said, then all of a sudden it'll be on Paramount next year. What they need to do is this. You need to pitch them MTV Cribs Reunion because they're all about the reunion shows that they end up showing the whole season because they're doing a reunion show on Paramount. So like they just showed Real Housewives New Orleans. So that's my pitch is like you go, you put your suits on and get your briefcases and go down to, you know, Netflix or Hulu and say, here's our idea. We're going to assemble the team from the original crew members of MTV Cribs. We're going to get to interview them, what they thought of being in Mariah Carey's lair, who hated the dog, like
that's a good
all
idea.
That stuff.
Yeah. Tell us the back of like,
backstory.
Oh, she was late. We had to wait outside of her house for 17 hours.
Yeah.
And then she made us carry her on our shoulders through the kitchen or whatever.
Oh,
you know?
Remember all those years where she didn't walk? Like people would just carry her places, even on stage. They would move her from one side of the stage to the other side in a chair. She didn't walk.
Oh, wow. That was right before the breakdown,
okay,
right?
I'm going to give you one other thing that I need you, I think that you'll find fascinating. This is a good deep dive. So, you know, Princess Charlene, she married Prince Albert. They live in Monaco. So before the wedding, she tried to escape. They stole her passport. She couldn't get out. He's like a womanizer. He like slept with a bunch of, and there was all stories coming out right before the wedding that like he had another illegitimate child. So she was trying to get out of it and they stole her passport. So when you look at footage of the wedding, and I will send this to you just so you could watch it 17 times. There's a part of the wedding ceremony where this mother and daughter sing this French song. It's beautiful. And they're singing it during the wedding ceremony. And the camera pans on Princess Charlene and she cannot stop crying. And he's whispering to her. He's like, shut the fuck up. Like, pull yourself together. And you can tell this is a woman that does not want to get married and she's screwed. And it, so it makes me think of like Carter isolation. Like, but on a royal level, like what happened? Now she has disappeared for periods of time. She was in South Africa. They said she was like getting like healing. She looks miserable with them all the time. I need to figure out what's going on in the life of Charlene.
There's no way she's just going off to heal in South Africa. They're keeping her. They're doing something with her.
There's something going on.
Because that's what they did to Meghan Markle too. You know, she was totally isolated. That's what she said. They took her passports and stuff. She's like, I couldn't just pop out and grab an Uber. I didn't even have my passport. I didn't have any money. She didn't have anything. And she would just have to sit there.
Oh yeah. She's got two little kids, Princess Charlene.
Send us that clip. I want to see that.
You can see that she hates him. Wow. I mean, just in this picture, you can see that she hates him.
Tell everybody where they can listen to your hilarious podcast and find you.
We have a political podcast. It is liberal and left-leaning. So if that ain't your bag, don't stop by. But it is free. It's called Dumb Gay Politics. And if you don't want to hear us talk about politics, we have a Patreon podcast. You can go to julianbrandy.com. There's a free episode to listen to there. You don't have to download the Patreon app or anything. You can just click play and listen to the free episode and see if you want to go and join our Patreon podcast.
And that's where we just do like stories and poems and stuff and spoken word songs and eat weird things and just, you know, just life journeys and stories.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you a million times.
Thank you a million times. Thank you for having us. That was fun.
That was
fun.
We're
going to go keep watching Paris in Love.
And now I'm going to go send you the YouTube. And report, text me back and tell me what you think. Goodbye.
Okay.
Bye. The amazing Kate Casey. I want to thank Julie and Brandy for being absolutely hilarious as always and for their devotion to television. They really have gone the distance. If there was an Olympic ceremony, they would walk into the opening ceremony with their own flag. Do you know what I'm saying? So I want to thank them and remind you to buy tickets to my live show, which is July 13th. You do not want to miss it. Get tickets now. It's going to be the Irvine Improv, and it's going to have fantastic special guests. So get your tickets now, July 13th, Irvine Improv. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. You can find me in my Facebook group, Reality Life with Kate Casey, TikTok, it's Kate Casey, Instagram at Kate Casey, CA. You can find my must-watch list, which is also available at katecasey.substack.com. Listen, I'm going to tell you what you've got to watch each week. You can find it there. And also my Patreon, patreon.com, for bonus episodes. And I've got a special bonus episode with someone who knows Johnny Depp. And it's a good one. So make sure you check it out. Patreon, patreon.com/katecasey. Hope that you are having a great week. And I can't wait to circle back with you on Friday. I've got an interview with Jamie from The Real World Homecoming New Orleans. And I really need to unpack Julie. Okay, circle back with you later.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.